What's on your mind? I'm Scott Hennon. Kevin Flynn is here. Leah Backstrom. Todd Mitchell is not. He's mending up from a little health scare. Had a little ticker trouble over the Christmas holiday. A little chest pain. I can't wait to talk to him about this. Like, what did the chest pain feel like? Like, just so you know, the warning signs, you know, you always hear about.
Yeah.
It's like a unique pressure, like a piano's on your chest.
Yep.
You know, not like a pain in the sense of, what was that? A sharp pain or something, but just like that pressure. So his wife smartly gets him in an ambulance, gets to the hospital, had 100% blockage in one of the pipes. They cleared it out with a Roto-Rooter, put in a stent, and he sprung up like a spring chicken. But he's just being smart here about, he's home, back at Bismarck, and will be back with us on Monday.
Friend of mine in the last couple of years has had, I think, three of those. He's had three stints put in, three different, and he's doing great. It's amazing.
It is. And by the way, thanks for your prayers. That's what I love about this audience. I mean,
a ton of emails.
Oh, my gosh.
It was
just
really
incredible.
Great.
Thousands and thousands of people saying we're praying for Todd. And it's no coincidence that Todd recovered and is back with us on Monday because your prayers worked. So thank you for that. We appreciate the Todd miracle. All right. By the way, never before have I walked in the break room and seen Newsmax on the TV, and that just happened. So whoever put Newsmax on in the break room, you know what? Find me and I'll slap you into something. I don't know. Little perk, little bonus for today because my day was much better. The one, the only, the founder, the inventor of MyPillow, greatest pillow on the face of the earth, the pillows, the towels, the sheets, the dog beds. I'm telling you, folks, world-class entrepreneur, our good friend Mike Lindell is back with us on What's on Your Mind. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, Scott, I got about 15 minutes here, and I'm going to be on the phone with the White House. So,
good.
A lot of stuff going on.
All right, so I'm throwing you the keys here. You just go. What do we need to know?
Well, hold on one second here. There's a lot of good pathways here. I still 100% believe Donald Trump's going to be our president the next 4 years. I was just on the phone with Lynn Wood 2 minutes ago. I was with the president yesterday for just a couple minutes, though. He got called away. I am down in Florida. I'm going to be talking to Sydney again today. Everything that's building up here, one of the biggest things, there's about three or four different pathways. Obviously, the Supreme Court is the big gorilla in the room. They can, when they come back on the 8th, there's like 9 cases before the Supreme Court right now with all the evidence. The thing is, there's more evidence than you've ever seen of any crime committed in history. I mean, it's a list, probably a foot thick now. And, from the Dominion, the crooked Dominion machines to the organic feed, there's 6 different ways that that all 7 states in question, including Minnesota, cheated. And you can take any one of them and segregate it out. Like, let's say the voter verification or the audit, the signature verification in Georgia. You just take that in and do it right. Donald Trump wins Georgia. In Pennsylvania, you take in, it's called these U-votes, they're called, and that's just a weird thing I found out today. These U-votes, it's a different category. It came in 2004, and it sat dormant for 11 years. It was used a little bit in 16 or 12 years, and then it was used, 90,000 votes were used in this election. And there are people that don't exist. But that's just one. I'm just saying one category in each state, because most of them used at least 5 of the 6 ways to cheat. It's so blatant. So, but anyway, the stuff is coming up here on the 6th, which is Mike Pence's, and everybody, if you got social media, get on there, and you need to, Mike Pence needs to stand up for our country, and he needs to make a decision based on his faith and what he knows is true, rather than any political agenda or personal agenda. And I'm just saying how important that is, because he missed one little date that he could have done something, and he didn't. And it's very scary that where everything's sitting now. People don't have courage to stand up. I mean, all these Republican legislators in 5 of the 6 states, they did nothing. They did nothing. This is the most, I you know, for me in my lifetime, I've seen weird stuff, but this is the craziest stuff where it's like, once you get one whistleblower, one guy that's going to go to prison, they're going to fall like dominoes. You know, that's what I believe, Scott. I just believe it's going to fall like dominoes.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think the evidence has not been heard? I know that a lot of people say, well, it's been the courts. I get emails all the time. Republicans on courts appointed by President Trump and other Republicans, they've seen the evidence and they reject it. I say, no, they haven't. The vast majority has been procedural. You don't have standing versus evidentiary. They're not looking at the evidence. Why? What's going on? Why are the legislatures and the courts?
They're not looking at the evidence. And there's so many theories there. You have like five categories. You have corrupt politicians. I believe Kemp's corrupt. I'll say it straight out. There's no other explanation for him and Doug Ducey in Arizona. These are governors. There's corrupt. There's people also that are being bribed. There's people that are blackmailed. There's the GOP is involved in this too. Don't kid yourself. The theory is, do they trade stuff like trading cards? There's so many theories, but these judges that don't open it up to look at the evidence, it's what are they afraid of? Here's what I say, Scott, and I want everybody, all the listeners, to listen up on this. If you're on the left, wouldn't you want, let's see if it's true so we can laugh in your face if all this is just fake evidence, you know what I mean? I mean, if this is just made up, why would you not, if you're in a poker game and you're accused of cheating, you're going to show your case and say, no, I wasn't, rewind the tape, right? You're going to say rewrite.
I agree. And by the way, if we don't, okay, I'm a Democrat. Say I'm a Democrat. Say I hate Trump. You ought to want this. You ought to want this investigation. You want to want the evidence vetted. Otherwise, you're going to hear about it for the next 4 years and beyond.
It's going to be it's going to be worse than that. Here's what I believe: the truth is going to come out. No matter what. The Supreme Court has these cases. They're going to have to look at them. Now, will they look at them before January 20th or 21st, whenever the inauguration is? I don't know. But when they do, it's going to be a 9. Now, listen real close on this. A 9-0 vote that, yes, there was election fraud, and they're going to send it back to the state. Because it's not going to be a 7-2 or a 5-4. It's as simple as there's so much there. Is this a green cup or a purple cup? Green being fraud, purple being no fraud. They're all going to have to say green. Now, when you do that, it comes back to they push it back to these states, these legislatures that didn't have any backbone or courage and go, wow, everybody in the country, everybody, including the Democrats, and even the ones, these people that really, a lot of them really think they won. And now the truth shall set you free. If everybody sees this, there's no civil war. You don't fight. Nobody will fight for something that, that Donald Trump's the true president, that they can see in black and white. Yeah, it was fraud. I don't like him, but they did cheat. Now, if you do it any other way, if you never show the truth, and everybody, now it's upwards of almost 65% of the American people believe there was fraud. The world, out in the world, it's even higher. By the time that January 6th comes, as this, where, all this evidence is shown and we're even doing commercials where we're going to show a lot of it on TV. And you can go on Twitter right now and look and see this stack of evidence. But when this is shown to the public, now you're going to have, 100% of the people on the right are going to go, okay. And what if they steal the two Senates in Georgia?
Yeah, but the scenario you're laying out, though, Mike, is something that can't happen before January 20th. Your point is we know enough now to do this right before January 20th, but we have very few ways to do it. Very few ways to do it, right? Because the courts have been a bust. The legislatures have been a bust. And now we got the congressional action on January 6th. And I think I hear you saying if Mike Pence doesn't stand up and do this as the presiding officer of that particular event on January 6th, they're not going to vote our way. The House will never vote our way.
We could lose that thing. But there's like I say, about four different pathways, and they're all very. Each one could 100% here. Basically, it's let's look at this. Let's look at what happened here. There was a murder committed or attempted murder. There's no statute of limitations on this, by the way, Scott. So let's just say another scenario. Let's say they steal the two Senate seats. Okay. Let's say they steal them, And
in
now,
Georgia.
Do you really think, in Georgia, do you really think that people on the right are going to stand for this? I compare it to that old country song. Remember that old country song by Kenny Rogers, Coward of the County? And you know, these Republicans are the coward of the county. But then one day, Tommy stopped and locked the door. You know, I mean, they're not going to take this. And then once it is all uncovered, and if it would be passed inauguration, then what do you do? What does the country do? You got somebody that didn't win in power. So
we have a few more minutes with Mike Lindell. I know a lot of listeners waiting to weigh in too. We'll do it after this. Don't go away. What's on Your Mind continues. Christmas, you know, it is. You know, the 12 days of Christmas actually starts at Christmas, so it's still very much Christmas. It's the Christmas season, which is another reason, if you haven't seen it yet, the Magical Badlands Christmas is something you should get on demand. This year we couldn't be there, not all of us anyway. A few folks got to see it live, and a few folks watched the live stream from the Old Town Theater in Medora, but now you, for just $25, can get an on-demand streaming access ticket. And then you can watch it whenever you want. So it's really cool. Find out more at MedoraChristmasLive.com. More with Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, but more than that, a great product, a patriot that has just done incredible, given of his time, talent, and treasure to so much of this effort, and nobody's brought us more comfort. And correct me if I'm wrong, you're not doing this for political reasons, you're not doing this for business reasons, you're doing it for the kingdom, you're doing it for God.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what God, since November 4th, God, I've just, once, you know, you got to realize, everyone needs to read what a blessing this is this Christmas. And I'm going to tell you why. Our blessing came at 11:15 on election night, everybody. You know, they underestimated Donald Trump and the American people. We, the votes that came in, which are upwards of 80 million, by the way, but the 75 million that they actually let come through, they only expected around 70 million. So at 11:15, it broke those machine algorithms. And if it wouldn't have broke them, if they would have estimated right, we would have all the balloting would have been counted by morning. And everyone would have thought, well, we made it close, but you know, the polls said that it was going to be this, you know, really bad, but we made it close. Better luck next time. We would have never known that for decades they've been, you know, they've been boiling us like a frog in water for decades, killing it. And they just went for everything this time, but they got caught. They got caught, and it's going to come out. They got caught. That's the blessing of this. And we were just talking off air, you know, Scott and I, that even on January 6th, we have to get senators on board, you know, that the senators that are on board, a lot of the Congress is on board, but we have to have a couple people or one of these contested. Then they go in, they actually have to look at the evidence, and even if they get suppressed there, you know, the Supreme Court's going to look at that and go, wow, these guys seen a bunch of evidence, and, you know, it went back and forth, like, you know, whether it's 2 hours, 4 hours, or whether it takes 2 days, we're in an anomaly. There's, you know, everything can be different. They might even move January 6th. Who knows? There's so many
and
things
this is,
we're in right now.
Other than Ron Johnson's committee, there has been very little evidence vetted in the Congress.
Right.
Mike Lindell and Senator Cramer know each other very well. Obviously, Mike's been to Bismarck or been to Kevin's church. They know each other. And Kevin has led the effort to get a private, you know, briefing for the members of the, at least a group of interested in the Senate to hear the evidence that hasn't been heard in the court, that has been heard in legislatures and they ignored, but actually bring the evidence. So that's another feather in Kevin's cap that he's led that effort. And again, wants the evidence. So I don't think there's any doubt that Kevin Cramer is in the Trump camp. I think his question is, what's the path to victory? Is it January 6th? Is it not?
Right.
On that point, the president has asked people to come to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. What is happening there for average, everyday Americans, North Dakotans, South Dakotans, Minnesotans listening now? Why should they be there? Why should they spend their hard-earned money to be there? Is there a purpose for that?
I think it's optics for two reasons. One is for all these senators in Congress that day that they, you know, that they figure there could be upwards of 8 million people. Could be the biggest gathering rally in history. And I really believe that. And if you got, you know, that's what they're saying. That's the outside estimates. But I mean, I've seen a couple million people there, but this is going to be incredible. That and the rest of the country and the world seeing this, that if this many people are showing that, yes, this was our election, we're not going to let our election, our president, be stolen from us. I mean, this is criminal, and This isn't something where we can sit back as conservatives, as Christians, and just be complacent. Oh, you know what? It's, you know, better luck next time. Maybe we'll, maybe they won't cheat next time. You know, whatever that is. But this is going to be a support of our president, our support of the Congress there, the and then the Supreme Court watching. These guys are watching, going, you know, we, the whole thing is, what, somebody needs to look at the evidence and then tell us that we're, that, you know, there's nothing there. Tell, I dare anybody to do that. I dare the Supreme Court, you know, and so that's what the purpose of
so that you rally. Your recommendation, and I know there's this Sea to Shining Sea tour now that's going, unfortunately, not close to our neck of the woods, but is literally going Sea to Shining Sea and going to end up in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. We'll lead this effort.
Right.
So it's, you use the word optics. It is to send a powerful message to Congress and the media that this is a big deal. In all due respect,
right,
there have been predictions of various rallies along the way attracting millions to Washington, D.C. that hasn't happened. It's gotten to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, but not millions. You believe this one's different?
Different. The other one that was there, I was there at two of them. There was over a million people there at both of them. So what you're hearing on the news, they don't show all that, all them people. I couldn't, it took me 2 hours to go on a golf cart from going about 1 mile, just seas of people. So they can sit there and minimize it all they want. But I believe this one will be, because everybody knows, this is it, people. People do not realize if God doesn't have, which we know he does, he's got his hand in this, and we just pray for mercy and pray for more grace that he gave us on November 8th, 2016. This is it. If you're complacent and we'd all just sit back and go, oh, they took the two Senate seats, it's over. It's socialism. You can't get this back. We are in a blessed time where we've got to stand up and I'm sorry, pull the gun out of that murderer's hand, whatever. They're not going to kill us, and because our life would be over. You open up, you know, you open up. People don't realize that it's, well, maybe next time we'll get them. No, they would pack the court. You let the borders open, all these illegals voting. It would be over. Socialism would be here. But Biden is a Trojan horse. We all know that. He would be, you know, that's why I actually, true, I heard you talking, speaking up for Newsmax, Scott. Let me tell you, I went on Newsmax the other day, and everybody can look it up, and they were, they were threatened by Dominion, so they wouldn't even let me talk about it. They suppressed me, and they're all talking about Hunter Biden. I go, you guys, everyone in the news, you need to talk about this election fraud. Who cares about Hunter Biden? It should be every minute of every day. Did you hear what they did in Pennsylvania? Everybody just look it up on the Internet. Look it up on Twitter. You can find. Look it up on Sidney Powell's website or Rudy. You can see the evidence, a lot of it, for yourself and tell your friends and family that this needs to be looked at. Call your congressman, call your state legislatures. You know, they because this is it. I mean, this is 1 week away, the Georgia election, and the sixth, the fifth and sixth back to back. I'm going to make a prediction, Scott. I will bet you that they do not call that Senate race for probably a month. I just think they're going to bury it. They're not going to call it, so we won't know. You know, we won't know who won that. You know what I mean? I just think that's what they're going to do. They're so crooked.
Listen, I am so grateful that you are fighting on behalf of so many of us who believe as strongly as we do. I've been reluctant to say go there January 6th. You've given me a different picture on the reason for that and what's at stake here and the rallying point. So I think folks need to consider that strongly. I'm going to go. Certainly, right. And if nothing else, folks can't go report on it and everything of what's happening there. But, Mike, know that we are so appreciative, so grateful for you and what you're doing. I can't imagine the stress and everything else with it, so we'll keep praying for you and everybody else on the team to make this happen and really appreciate
well,
you taking
us. Scott, and I want to say one more thing with that big rally in D.C. The whole world is watching this, so it's all the media. This is a way to get around the media, go that we really do care, and we're not going to let our election be stolen when our president be gone.
God bless you. Good luck chatting with the White House. Keep us posted. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you. God bless.
A good friend for all the right reasons, Mike Lindell. More after this on What's on Your Mind.
Up cars with
Mellencamp. Doing a R-O-C-K in the USA. When he did this song, though, he was John Cougar. Go figure, showbiz, right? Back on What's On Your Mind, John Hinderrocker from the president, he is the president from the Center of the American Experiment, coming up here in a bit. They're doing some really good work, and I want to talk with him about Minnesota's view on the whole Trump battle from the conservative side, and also about some things happening with new social studies standards that are mind-boggling. So we'll talk about that, too. Mike Lindell has planted a seed with me that at least between now and when this is resolved, hopefully before January 20th, God willing, nothing is more important than this. Meaning, as much as I try and make sure we're serving as many people as possible in our audience, i.e. social study standards and things that are important, upcoming legislative session, everything else, that really our focus has to be right now, as much as possible, with every free moment outside of our family and making a living, to this cause, to this effort, to make sure the evidence is heard and justice is done. I don't care if the evidence is actually presented fairly, freely, and the ultimate outcome is Joe Biden is president. I really don't. I wouldn't like it. But if the evidence is never heard, I'm never going to believe it. I'm never going to believe it. And you shouldn't either. And we should do everything in our power to make that happen. I'll talk more about January 6th and the thousands now of requests we've had for some sort of bus, plane, trip, whatever. So,
by the way, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, said in a statement today that he will object to the certification of the Biden Electoral College
victory. Good for him.
So he's one of them.
He's a bit of a grandstander. I like Josh Hawley.
He's young. I like him.
He's a former attorney general down there, but a bit of a grandstander. So that's sort of a get in front of the parade deal, but I'm glad he's doing it.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing would be for every Republican to do it, right? Regardless of what the House is going to do. I think I hear Mike Lindell saying Mike Pence is the linchpin to January 6th.
Oh, don't question.
He's the presiding officer, so he literally has the power to do whatever he wants. Now, legally, constitutionally, he could do that. Politically, it would be suicide for him, supposedly. I don't know if I believe that. I think it actually would help him be the true Trump ally, but that's what swamp talk is. So you heard, between the lines, I heard Mike saying that. All right, let's get to some calls that have been waiting a long time to weigh in. Sorry I didn't get you in with Mike Lindell, but I just didn't want to stop the guy. He was on fire and doing amazing things. As one texter just said, I wish he'd tell us what he really thinks. and then we'll get to John Hinderrocker.
Right.
Matthew Walker, Minnesota. Go.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for doing your show and everything. I recently moved out of Fargo. I love your show. I wish they had something like that out here. I think we need radio-free Minnesota, the way things are looking. But, no, I'm glad you're having a fella on to talk about Minnesota, because I am certain that if it weren't for an established system they had like we saw in 2012, that this state would have been red. And, yeah, that's appreciate you, and I'm glad I've got you on the app.
Hey, fantastic. And our AM 1100, the signal, the flag, does get to Walker, but when you get in the forest there, it's a little scratchy, obviously daytime hours. But the app is always a great suggestion, just because it's mobile and it's there and it's easy. And the iHeart app is fantastic. Our own apps on the flag websites are great. WDAY has a great app of 970, 93.1 FM. So it works good. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate the call. Glad you're listening in Walker, Minnesota, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Ryan, you're next.
Hi, Scott. Prayers to Todd. I hope he does well, and I look forward to having him back on Monday.
Thank you.
I got to say, though, I have a little bit of a difference of opinion with Mike Lindell, not in terms of what should happen, but I'm kind of a realist when it comes to what will happen. I think it's a huge mistake and a waste of time, effort, and money to depend on politicians and judges to pull this thing through. I think the real fighters are the people out there, the everyday people who are saying, no, I won't close my business. No, I won't be shamed into wearing a mask. That's what real fighting looks like to me. I think if we're depending on politicians, pull Trump over the finish line, we're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, or judges, it looks like, right, at this point. Or, you know, you're right, Ryan. Good points. Thanks. Chris and Dickinson, go.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple comments on January 6th. And the 4 years of hell that Trump's gone through, he's only asked us to do two things. Number one was vote, and number two was be in D.C. on January 6th. And I'm fortunate and blessed enough to be able to afford to go, so I will be going. But I just want to give a heads up to those that can attend. Maybe have a rally at the Capitol, the state Capitol, at the same time. I know different states are talking about doing that. But if you are planning on attending, it's, from what I'm seeing, it's not going to be pretty. There's not going to be porta-potties. There's hotels already shutting down, blocking out those dates. They're advising to probably maybe stay in Arlington, Virginia or whatever. It's about a half hour away just for the restaurants and hotel accommodations. And BLM is going to be there as well in mass. So, but
of course they are. And that's why, you know, I have hesitated to say go because I want to know what are we going to? What's it for? Now, I heard Mike Lindell say very clearly it's about optics. And by the way, optics are very important in the swamp. Because I guarantee you, if there were millions of people in Washington, D.C., they'd go, holy buckets. Now, they'd look out the window and say, what a bunch of nut jobs, but they would be a little bit more concerned about their future politically, right? So the optics are important, and I get that. I feel differently now about why he's saying to do that January 6th versus getting closer to the inaugural or whatever. I think if you can go, go. But know this, we have been inundated. Thousands of our listeners have said, we want to go. Can you put together a trip like you do your other trips to Norway or D.C. or whatever? And my wife sort of handles the logistics of this. And she did a ton of calls to all our usual, you know, vendors. Hotels won't take group reservations. Airlines won't take group reservations. There's no restaurants open. You're exactly right. I mean, porta potties. I mean, it's going to be a bit of chaos. That's why I am going to go. And possibly Kevin and others from our team are going to go. Kevin packed some heat, so I'm not worried about BLM. And, you know, he'd be my bodyguard. And, you know, be there for you if you can't go. But more on that in the coming days. Appreciate it very much. Larry in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Fred in Wing, North Dakota. We'll get to you before the end of the hour. I promise you're next to go. But first, the one, the only, John Hinderacher, president of the Center of the American Experiment, one of our favorite think tanks on the planet. They know everything about Minnesota and trials and tribulations there, and their wisdom is good for all of us in the Northern Plains. John, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Scott. Great to be with you.
What is your take, before we talk about social study standards, what is your take on this battle for the presidency? January 6th, the role the Congress will play, the punting of the seven key legislative efforts so far, the courts saying, no, you don't have standing, so we're not going to even hear the evidence. Where are we at? What's your view from your seat?
Well, I'll give you my big picture view, Scott. Number one, I think that I know that there was a lot of voter fraud in this election. I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows at this point, whether voter fraud swung the election to Joe Biden or not. I just don't think we know that. You know, back in the day, as you know, Scott, I practiced law for a long time. I did litigation. I handled cases up to $1 billion in value. And if I could reassemble one of my old litigation teams, and if I had a budget of, you know, rather modest budget of $10 or $15 million, and if I had a year and a half, and if I had subpoena power so that I could compel production of documents and compel witness testimony, after a year and a half, I'd get to the bottom of it in a given state. Assign me a state, you know, whether it's Wisconsin or Georgia or whatever it might be, Michigan. I could get to the bottom of it, but there was never any possibility that the Trump campaign was going to be able to prove that any state flipped to Biden because of voter fraud in the time they had available. It was never possible. You cannot litigate like that in the space of 60 or 90 days. It's literally impossible. And so those lawsuits never had a chance. And what I think is going to happen is that for the next couple of years, people are going to be investigating, although unfortunately without subpoena power, investigating what happened in this election and writing books. And I think that we'll learn more about these midnight 100,000 vote dumps, you know, that happened in three or four states. And we'll learn more about the fraud that accompanied 100 million mail-in votes, although we'll never be able to count, you know, how many of those 100 million, you know, were fake. And so I think Joe Biden is going to assume the presidency under a real cloud. I mean, many, many people doubt that he actually won the election. And I think that doubt is going to continue and may very well grow over the next 4 years.
do we know enough to have a, you know, fire in our belly to say, use every avenue we have? In other words, Mike Pence, you're the presiding officer. What you say goes on January 6th, you know, before anything happens. Do you know enough, Mike Pence, to say, you know, this was stolen from us? Do you have a belief in your gut that there's enough evidence? What's your take as an attorney on what you do with the venues that you have now about this election? Because many people believe, John, that if they steal the two Senate seats in Georgia like they've stolen the others, we are quickly not going to recognize the United States of America under this plan, and they will have accomplished something of great proportion. I agree with you. We'll get the true answer in time, but will it be too late? What would your advice be related to the venues left to get to the right answer before January 20th?
Well, it's not going to happen, Scott. I mean, look, I mean, I think it's fine if people want to go to Washington and demonstrate and so forth. I endorse that. But there's nothing that the Republicans can do between now and January 20th to prevent Joe Biden from being inaugurated. And I think that if they make extraordinary efforts, you remember 4 years ago, this happened in 2004 as well, and it happened 4 years ago, there were House Democrats who voted against accepting the results of the Electoral College vote. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They said Donald Trump is illegitimate. We vote against accepting these results. And in 2004, there were Democrats who voted against accepting George W. Bush's Electoral College victory. Everybody just thought they were nuts, right? I mean, this has happened before, and it's not going anywhere, you know. And so I think that the better course of action is to provide for a traditional kind of transition, but to resist. Do what the Democrats did. Hashtag resist every step of the way.
Interesting. All right, John Hinderacher, more on what we plan to talk about, social studies standards. And by the way, these are important fights. The education of our children and what is being taught are very important points, because we are where we are because of how this needle has moved. It's a sad deal. More with John when we come back. And Larry and Fred, I keep my promises, so stay tuned. More coming up on What's On Your Mind. Two things to tell you before we crank back up here. One is that communities all across North Dakota see big possibilities for education, infrastructure, conservation, and more. How can they see big possibilities for all those? The state's oil and natural gas industry helps make it happen. North Dakota Oil and Gas are advancing these possibilities. Find out more about all that at North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, their website, ndpetroleumfoundation.org. Let me also tell you, you will never leave a PetroServe USA location hungry, ever, because they have home cooking and grab-and-go convenience that is unbelievable. Today, you buy two fresh baked cookies, you get one free. There literally is everything from meatloaf to, pick your favorite hamburger, hot dish, all the great specials at select PetroServe USA locations as well, grab-and-go convenience. And also great savings, 24-pack of Pepsi all month long, $5.99. Great deal. Or grab two of those salted nut rolls for $2 on your way out the door. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Larry in Fergus Falls has been waiting for over an hour, and I love Fergus Falls, Otter Tail County, God's country of Minnesota. Larry, what's on your mind?
Well, thanks so much, Scott, for all you guys do. You've been just a tremendous blessing. I recently finished a book by Pastor David Jeremiah entitled Agents of the Apocalypse, which gives a look at the key players of the end times. And it was written like a novel, so it could be more easily understood, but it was based entirely on the Bible. In it, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan were talking, and it was amazing how they spoke enough truth in with their lies so it seemed believable. Sound familiar?
To answer your question, I hear you 100%. I've read Jonathan Cahn's books, too, and they're fascinating. And I always start from the premise of, you know, we don't know. We're not wired to know. We're not supposed to know. We don't know. But obviously, if you believe, you know, that's at some point in our future. Whether we're here for it or not is hard to say. When you go back to, you know, Christmas, the Christmas story, 2,000 years later, You're thinking, is it around the corner or is it 2,000 years from now? You just don't know. But I'm going to read the book on your suggestion, Larry, and call again when we have more time, okay? Fred and Wing, before I go back to John Hinderrocker, give me your best 30 seconds, Fred. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is James chapter 1. It talks about rich men using their riches for good. I think that Mike Lindell has done that. And he's not, and his riches are not going to fade away. The work of his life won't fade away because he's doing good work with it. And I call upon other rich men to do the same thing.
That's a good advice, Fred. That's good advice. And your wisdom is always fantastic. Thank you for calling. Mike Lindell has done amazing things, more than people will know. His book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, is a great example. This guy was a crack addict on the streets of Minneapolis. And just had that inner drive that was able to overcome that to do what he's doing now. It's pretty phenomenal. Okay, John Hinderrocker back, president of the Center of American Experiment. I asked you on today to talk about social studies standards and what's happening right now. And I understand they're in draft form now and eligible for public comment. So this is important. This is good timing. People have to weigh in on this. What is happening to social studies standards in Minnesota?
Scott, it's unbelievable. But first, just for background, there's a statute that says that the Department of Education promulgates these standards, and they are the guide for the curriculum for K through 12 education.
Federal or state? State level.
At the state level, yeah.
Okay, got it.
We're talking about the Minnesota Department of Education, the state of Minnesota. And they're revised every 10 years, and a different one will come up for revision each year. So this year, the social studies standard is up for revision for the first time now in 10 years, and that includes history as well as economics and some other things. So they've released the first draft, and Scott, it is stunning. Let me tell you what's not to be part of the Minnesota Public School curriculum if this standard is approved. The Pledge of Allegiance, World War I, World War II, the Holocaust, the history of communism, the American Revolution, George Washington, there's no mention of George Washington anywhere in these guidelines.
Oh, my God.
The Civil War is out, a whole bunch of things. Okay, what's in? If you ask
my next question, I'm afraid to ask.
The Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, what the hell is in, right? Okay, here's what's in. Systemic racism in the United States, rooted in our founding. How freedom and democracy have excluded certain groups throughout our history. Developing a respectful awareness of the LGBTQ+ community, gender equality / equity, the Reconstruction period, specifically successful efforts to disenfranchise newly freed black Americans, an analysis of the ideology of manifest destiny and its relationship to whiteness, Christianity, and capitalism. So you get the drift, Scott. This is unbelievable stuff. And in a few short days, we set up a website. And everybody, please write this down and go to it. RaiseOurStandardsMN.com. RaiseOurStandardsMN.com. And you can go there and learn more. And you can send a letter, which will be an official comment on this draft of the social studies standards, and it will go to the relevant people at the Department of Education. In just a few days, we've already gotten 2,500 Minnesotans to submit comments objecting to what they're trying to do in these social studies standards. So
let's double that number. Yeah, the website one more time, John.
RaiseOurStandardsMN.com.
And we're tweeting that out as we speak on the What's on Your Mind site. Thanks a ton. This is criminal, what's being done in Minnesota. And I mean it. This is criminal. It is unbelievable to poison the minds of kids and not give them what they need to know. Unbelievable. John Hinderrocker from the great Center of the American Experiment. Thank you, sir. More tomorrow, right here. Hot